Hi, everyone. It's Candace from Autism One Radio. Today, my guest is Michelle Ford. Michelle, hi.
Hey, Candace. Great to talk to you again. How's it going?
We had this kick-ass win over there in New Jersey today.
Oh, my God. I don't know about you, but I was glued. I was glued to the Highwire Periscope today, watching
the
whole thing go down.
Yeah, it's about time we won one. How many people do you think were out there in the street?
Oh, my gosh, thousands. And what was really amazing is, as tired and cold and hungry as these folks must have been, they were determined to not back down, and it was so inspiring. And I'm, like many people, you know, I'm sure I'm one of tens of thousands that were watching online as this was unfolding, and I'm so grateful of all the people that were able to be there to represent for those
of
us who couldn't be there, and all the great, you know, live reporting that was going on. It was just so great. It felt like being there. Minus the cold, of course.
I was reading one of Dell's articles, one of the articles, and I guess Highwire was the only news outlet there.
Well, you know, I'm not really totally sure. I haven't done a full analysis, but, you know, the Highwire definitely was there. They had a correspondent inside the chambers, and they also had, of course, Dell outside catching, you know, all of the activities that were going on in and out. And it was great because on the inside they were interviewing people, and it was wonderful how they had sort of like this two-camera approach so you can really kind of get a sense of what was going on both inside the building and outside. And I really, you know, there was the one holdout representative or Senator Joe Lagana. And I noticed a lot of people were tweeting him today because he was, you know, the one holdout, I guess. And I started thinking about what it must be like to be in his shoes at a time like this when he literally has, you know, Merck in the backyard. And he's got all of these families that have been eyewitnesses to vaccine-related side effects. And what's he going to do? You know, I wouldn't be surprised if on the way to the car he got roughed up, you know, by some no-name individuals. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he's walking on a very thin line between now and January when they bring that bill back.
So just for our listeners, this is New Jersey Bill S2173.
2173, yeah.
Yeah, 2173, and it was a bill to take away religious freedom to attend school. People had to get all these vaccines to go to school in New Jersey, and we won, and we didn't think we were going to win yesterday or Friday, you know. I mean, we've lost every one of these fights, haven't we?
Yeah, well, we had a couple wins in Arizona. We had a win in Colorado. Maine has their bill, they're taking a proactive approach. The Maine folks are, you know, they got enough signatures to get a proactive bill on the ballot. So it's a parental rights bill. And that's a win, as far as I'm concerned, that they got enough signatures from the constituency to bring forth a bill and to, instead of being on the defense, they're actually on the offense in Maine. So that's a really inspiring situation over there, too. So we've had a few wins, but, you know, when a state like the size of California goes down, you know, it's deflating and it's concerning and worrisome, and it kind of gets everybody in a pinch because they say that what happens in California happens everywhere, ultimately.
Yeah, and in New York. And it's funny because New Jersey is a huge pharmaceutical state. I mean, huge.
Mm-hmm.
And they won. That's well, it's a win for the entire country. as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely have our work cut out for us. I really anticipate that 2020 is going to be a very active year. And, you know, the world is waking up. I think we're really getting close, as you talked about, you know, earlier today, a tipping point. I think we're getting close to that tipping point. Parents are getting just pissed off enough that they're not going to back down. And they're really starting to see the connection between their free speech rights, the censorship that's happening, and their Second Amendment rights. So,
and what's really cool is yesterday, Dr. Judy and I were invited to McAllister TV on YouTube, and we talked about chimerism. And Judy explained how these vaccines, this DNA from all this other animal DNA, insect DNA, cuts into our DNA. So that was about a two-hour video, and she really red-pilled some patriots, because just overnight it got 14,000 views. And, and they are sharing that information.
You know, I'm gripped by that video. I haven't finished it. I'm only about a half an hour in. But I'll tell you what, and, you know, I've heard Dr. Judy speak a number of times. So for me, this isn't totally new information. But I'll tell you what, the way that you laid out your questions,
I think it's plausible, Judy.
Yeah.
That gender confusion could manifest from the DNA of male and female aborted fetal tissue being injected, and we all know it cuts into the DNA. That's what we've learned.
Yeah,
so, yeah. Gender confusion is plausible after getting a vaccine with male and female aborted fetal tissue.
It seems, you know, even from someone like me who doesn't have, you know, a formal science background, okay? It seems.
Tell me either. I just saw what happened to my kids.
Highly plausible. You know, the closest thing that I could think of is when the DNA of a sperm and the DNA of an egg get together, they can create an entire human being. Right?
Yeah.
So imagine what can happen if the DNA of an insect, or the DNA of a chick embryo, or the DNA from a kidney of a pig or a cow, or who knows, right? An aborted fetus. They're absolutely messing with the DNA of human beings. There's no question about it. And not only are we seeing, you know, neurological damage of epic proportions, but
we talked about that too, about polysorbate 80 and the brain damage and the chimerism, how it, you know, it goes on through the generations. Like, once you mess with that DNA, there's just about no going back.
Mm-hmm. Well, the only thing
I asked
Judy
about the microcephaly in Brazil, and there were insect pieces and parts DNA in those vaccines. She said it was the DTP.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's completely plausible, she said. And my daughter's scoliosis, because I learned, I think I may have learned from Dana, that the toxins mimic essential minerals for life. So in the development of the soft tissue of a young child that's growing, and it's such a critical time for growth, these toxins mimic these essential minerals, and it can manifest in scoliosis.
Yeah, now, sometimes we say things like it's not just autism. So look at that, that it's plausible that this soft tissue of a growing human could be affected by something like the DTP vaccine, and scoliosis could potentially be the outcome. You know,
well, not just the DTP, but look at the, what is it, 72 vaccines by the time you're 18, 54 by kindergarten. My son was 2 months old and got 7 vaccines. I mean, and you think about the sheer volume of that. But let me tell you something else. I did this whole big interview with Judy, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, I'm listening to her, and it is just insidious what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. And then I go over, and I see this article from Bobby Kennedy. He's debating a pediatrician, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that article? Or
no, I don't think I've seen that one.
Okay, so he's debating this pediatrician, and I
can't
hardly sit through it because this guy was so dumb after I'd heard from Judy, and it was just like, I was just like, are you kidding me?
Was this the one, it was a news clip, that one?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I did see that one, and not only that, I watched that clip with my 12-year-old, and you know what my 12-year-old said?
What?
He said, Mom, he didn't even address Bobby Kennedy's concerns. My 12-year-old said that.
That's like, great.
Honey, I'm so proud of you for catching that. That's so great, you know. He goes, yeah, Bobby Kennedy, right now I'm forgetting what the interview was about, but he said something like Bobby Kennedy was talking about the corruption and the doctor was talking about measles. You know, it was like... He wasn't even addressing the issue.
These guys, they think they're so all that. They're just like false gods, and they don't know what they're talking about. Well, this guy, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I just have an adversity to some doctors. But
well, you know, because, listen, all they've got are talking points.
I know, and they hurt my child, and they hurt my mom. So I'm very... bitter, you mm-hmm. might say. I'm trying to get over it. You know, I went through a lockdown of therapy for 3 days at a challenge day workshop to work through it. So that's when I decided to stand up and kick some booty in activism, and I, you know, I've been doing all this since. So I'm directing my energy in a positive way.
Well, you are. You are, Candace. You know, you are really raising awareness. And not only that, but you are diverse in your approach because not only, you know, look, we're talking about vaccines right now, right? But and vaccines is kind of like what got your foot in the door. But you also talk to people that have other passions.
Well, it's because I've realized with all this human trafficking and everything that there's a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started realizing that these people are Luciferian. Who else would intentionally harm a child? I mean, I can't even imagine the monstrosity that they're capable of if they're going to, you know, traffic children. And these are people that are in charge of our country. And make our rules. So you got to think about some of these people, some of our California legislators and representatives. They're in hot water because they're crooked.
Oh yeah.
And I don't
know
what you think. But
they go to these.
I think Senator Pan is like a little bit shy of a Happy Meal. I really do.
That's a nice way of saying it.
Well, I don't want to get in trouble.
He's at least as genetically modified as a Happy Meal, that's for sure.
Oh, my God. And he's got some human DNA in that Happy Meal. Mm-hmm. Or some insect DNA, I don't know. Thick.
Yeah.
Okay. So we had a win in New Jersey. We had a win with Judy on McAllister TV on YouTube. Guys, go check it out. It's the chimerism. And we're going to move it over to Autism One Media as well. I'm not sure because our webmaster just had twins. So he's got his hands full. So we're working on it. But go check it out, guys. Now, Michelle,
yeah.
Can you update me on Somalia? What went on with the measles over there?
Samoa?
Oh, Samoa. Thank you.
No worries. Yeah, so Samoa, gosh, where do I start? I know we had a conversation about it recently already, so I want to pick up kind of where we left off. But for those people who may have missed that interview, so in Samoa, there is, you know, there's a measles situation going on. I'll call it a situation because the word outbreak, I think, is overused and misleading. But what happened was, you know, a couple of years ago, actually, I think it was last year, if I'm not mistaken, 2018, two babies died after getting an MMR vaccine. And so the prime minister at that time decided that there should be an investigation. And so he ceased the distribution and administration of measles MMR vaccines for further investigation, right? So there was a drop in the number of MMR vaccines that was typically being given at that time. So I don't know how long that investigation was going on for. However, I saw an interview, it was a news report by an alternative media channel on YouTube by Just Dad, who appears to be a New Zealander with an alternative media channel, who was reporting on the Samoa measles outbreak. One of the things he said was that before the outbreak happened, or before the outbreak was declared, supplies and vaccine doses were being ramped up and delivered to Samoa. So it's almost as if they were planning an outbreak. I know that sounds pretty far.
No, I've heard this before.
Yeah.
In other places.
And, you know, this gentleman did a bunch of research. I have not vetted his research. I just listened to it earlier today. But he had some slides and some visuals for, you know, the viewing audience to check out. So I will be doing that. But he reported that they did, in fact, I'm so sorry. I'm going to close my door here. He reported that they were ramping up in their supplies of measles vaccines and, you know, MMR vaccines and MR, measles delta vaccines. And then, lo and behold, they started mass vaccinating everybody. And then suddenly there's a measles outbreak, right?
Yeah.
So then there's a gentleman by the name of Edwin Tomasizi. I'm not sure exactly how to say it, but Tomasizi. And he was taking donations of vitamin A because everybody and their mother knows that people who are vitamin A deficient may have a harder time recovering from measles. So he was making vitamin A and vitamin C readily available to the people of Samoa. I might remind your listening audience that, you know, Samoa is living in third world conditions. I think they're greatest known for their tuna canning industry, of which one Nancy Pelosi's husband is a big part of the tuna, you know, worldwide tuna industry. And I should digress down that rabbit hole too, but I'm going to try to keep it and stay in my lane. So anyway, they're all vitamin A deficient. In fact, they're probably deficient in many additional vital nutrients. So there have been a number of deaths, unfortunately, in Samoa. So here this guy was, Edwin was distributing vitamin A and vitamin C to help those affected, and he was arrested.
I believe it. I'm wondering when that was coming.
Yeah. He was arrested. There he was helping people with a nutrient known to be helpful in
green
the face
needles.
Of measles, and they arrested him. Now, he apparently was charged for speaking out against the government during an emergency. So, I mean, what kind of crime is that? I mean, many people speak out against the government in times of emergency and non-emergency because, let's face it, many policies and procedures of the government are red tape type policies that only serve to distract and cost taxpayers a bunch of money. And sadly, Edwin was caught in that, and he was arrested. He is out now. As far as I know, he's awaiting his, awaiting for his date and time before the judge to determine what his future will look like in the face of having committed such a horrible crime. But I believe that, you know, he's being made an example of for the whole world to see, because the more that the authorities can use police power to silence those that are being helpful, being of service, and raising awareness in the public, the more they can silence those people, the more they can keep others at bay.
Oh,
because,
yeah, and enslave us and keep us
from
the dark. Keep us
absolutely
from communicating. Keep us divide and conquer. That's how the Nazis did it, door to door. Isn't that what you told me? One house at a time.
One house at a time, and that's how they did it in Samoa. They went door to door to make sure that every man, woman, and child was vaccinated with the MMR vaccine or the MR, because apparently they were distributing both. So the other thing that's very interesting is that they're not testing those that are coming down with measles. They're not testing them for genotype. Why not? Don't you think they want to know if they're wild strain measles or vaccine strain measles?
I think they'd want to know.
I think that they would want to know. Now, apparently early on, there was a test done on one of the victims, and it was a D8, which apparently is a wild strain genotype of measles. However, they didn't continue to test the people that were contracting or coming down with the measles. So I find it very curious. Apparently they're not losing sight of any of the empty bottles, vials of the MR and MMR vaccines that they're giving out. So they're keeping a very tight inventory of those bottles. And the whole situation is just extremely, extremely curious. I think that it's a testing ground. How far will they push human beings before human beings go absolutely batshit crazy, pardon my French, and, you know, decide to really fight back?
I was on McAllister TV before, actually. She interviewed me. And the following day, Juan O'Savin was on there, and he was totally agreeing with everything I said. And he said that if we cannot protect our children, we are done.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I'm just saying, it's true. Don't you
it
think?
It is true. Well, because, I mean, check it out. If people are too paralyzed and afraid to protect their own children, they're too afraid of the consequences.
Yeah, now I just go on the offense when, like, I got a truancy letter. Your kids have had too many absences. Well, I went back at them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, if you want to continue to harass me, I will file a federal complaint against you. Because our absences were excused. So, and I could argue that the sports teams will go out of state. Because I've taken my kids on vacation. We went to a family reunion in November, and I wasn't going to miss it. And I didn't want my kids to miss it because they had cousins they'd never met. So we went to New Orleans, and we were gone for 4 days out of school. But I had cleared it with the assistant principal before we left, and we made up our work before we left. So then I get this letter, and I just went after him. I'm like, come on, let's go. You know, I could argue that these sports teams take these kids out of school, and even the band and these different, you know, clubs at school. But I, as a parent, cannot take my child out of state during a school day without being excused. You know, hello.
Well, it's because they're anti-family, number one. Number two, they think they own your children. Number three, for every, you know, day that your kid is not sitting in that chair, they're losing federal dollars. So they use that as a reason to strong-arm parents and intimidate parents. But I love that you would not be bullied.
No, I refuse. And that's here's the deal. I live in a town in California where it's 77% underserved. Well, that's what they call it. It's really immigrants, right?
Mm.
Most of them are illegal. So they don't stand up to this authority because they're intimidated. And you got to know that's 77%. I mean, how many people are like me that are going to rise up and say, this isn't right? I'm not going for it. And my husband did the same thing at school when he went to get the kids one afternoon. I was so proud of him. He had taken the afternoon off, and it was a gorgeous day, so he went and got the kids out of school like an hour early, you know, take them for ice cream or something, you know. And the lady at the desk is like, well, why are you taking your kids? And he's like, because they're my kids. And I can do whatever I want to do with my kids. I was so proud of him.
So, Dad, you know.
Yeah, because they're my kids, not yours.
Yeah, and you know what? At the end of the day, your kids are going to remember that for the rest of their lives. Oh, remember that time that Daddy picked us up and took us out for ice cream on a school day? It probably made them feel 10 feet tall and over the moon. They're going to remember that forever.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I call making memories. And when they're in school being indoctrinated into a Marxist agenda, a transhuman AI over-sexualized agenda, I say, darn it, I'm glad your husband took him out of school and took him out for ice cream.
Yeah, somehow I might have his DA on me, but I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to go after it.
Well,
I'm prepared.
I don't know if you watch, you know, SGT report at all, but.
Oh, I love that guy. Yes, yes.
So, Sean,
you were
the other
on
day.
That report.
Yeah, I was. I've been a fan of that show for a long time, and I was really honored to be on that show. But he reported recently on that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. You remember that
Christmas
movie?
Oh, yeah, I love it. Yeah, that came out yesterday. I wanted to watch it, and I was so busy.
Yeah, he was on his guest was James Perloff, and they were talking about that film, It's a Wonderful Life, and how it's becoming more and more rare to be able to watch that movie. It used to be a holiday season's, you know, staple. And I can't tell you how many times I watched It's a Wonderful Life as a kid.
That was my favorite, yeah.
On regular television channels. And apparently, you know, they're trying to censor it because it is a family.
Because it's just too wholesome.
It's too wholesome. It's a family movie. It's a God movie. It's, you know.
And it's got a beautiful message.
It's a feel-good movie, and there's no sex, drugs, rock and roll, nothing. You know, it's
there might be some rock and roll.
There might be.
Oh, George, he could get in right. He's all right.
So, you know, I think that memories that last a lifetime, memories that make you feel really good inside, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And we have to take back our freedom.
We sure do. We have to stop getting bullied by schools, you know, these paternalistic, whatever. Maybe that's the wrong word.
And we're always afraid that, you know, the hammer's going to fall and we're going to be under this tyranny. Oh, my gosh. You know, we really have to just rise up and not let these people take us in the direction of the new world order.
That's right.
And then you got your real ID. Now people are reporting on that.
I'm so thrilled that people are starting to wake up to that. I've been talking about real ID now for almost a whole year. And
can you give us some details on that real ID? Can you explain to our listeners what all this is?
Yeah, so here's the other, you know, wolf in sheep's clothing, right? So the real ID, everyone knows the deadline is looming. It's like October 1st, 2020, right? So the real ID is an opt-in program. Most people believe it's required because they say, well, I won't be able to get on an airplane without it. The fact of the matter is, since it is an opt-in program, you do have the ability to, you know, cross state lines and fly with a regular state-issued ID and a valid passport. So I say get your wallet-sized passport and keep your regular state-issued ID, because why would it be an opt-in? There's this lovely thing called terms and conditions. We might be very familiar with terms and conditions. I know Twitter and YouTube recently updated their terms and conditions. Buried deep in the terms and conditions is information about your rights, information about privacy, and usually when you have...
You cut out, Michelle. Michelle, are you there? I think I may have lost Michelle, guys. Let me see if I can get her back. One second. I'm still here. I'm looking for Michelle. Hold on.
Hi, Candace.
Hi, Michelle. We're still recording.
Oh, perfect. Okay, good.
So, in the terms and conditions,
So when you have to opt into something, usually it's because you're giving up a right that you would have otherwise had. So just remember that whenever you have to sign something, you're signing not even just that you understand, but that you are also giving something up. So with the Real ID 2020 agenda, it is absolutely a roadmap to complete and total monitoring, surveillance, and control. So,
like the
what
Chinese,
I mean,
the Chinese, what was that called? The Chinese thing where they're monitoring their citizens on their social credit report?
Oh, yeah. There's a social scoring system happening in China. There's also, you know, facial recognition software and surveillance cameras literally everywhere you go in public. In fact, my daughter just today was telling me that she heard recently that Chinese people are starting to wear masks around because they're tired of those cameras tagging them, because it's all facial recognition cameras and everything all over the cities. So you can't leave your house without the you know, them just knowing your every move. And of course, the law
it's on our iPhones. I found it on location services.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to your settings and you go to, let me figure it out. My daughter showed me the other day, it had a complete roadmap of everywhere I've been.
No.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
So go to settings and then scroll all the way down. Wait, that's not right. It is, I'm going to have to work on that. It might be control center or general. I'm sorry, I don't know right now.
No worries. That's totally fine. It's just fascinating, you know, how technology can be used to monitor and surveil. And one of the things that cracks me up is that, you know, sometimes people say, well, if you have nothing to hide, then what do you care?
Well, why do you want people to watch you pee or know when you pee? Why would you want people to know when you have sex with your husband? Or why would you want people to know every place you go and who you talk to and eavesdrop on your conversation?
Right.
And know about the private conversations I have with my children. Or my husband. Or my friend.
It's really strange. It's really strange. All the information that they know about us.
Yeah,
and mostly because of voluntarily, you know, when we said yes to those iPhone, you know, terms and conditions, it was probably in there. It probably said. We'll be tracking your
Judy talked about the lawyers yesterday. You know, my husband talked about the accountants. Everybody else is talking about the lawyers. You know how our fudgesicles shrank. It's the accountant's fault. You know, you used to buy those fudgesicles, and they used to be real big when we were kids. You know, and now they're like a little bigger than a silver dollar, you know. They're just a little bit bigger than that, and they used to be, like, big. But I have a question, and I don't know if I was misled, told the truth or not. But when we were in New Orleans, a family member was going to take her child to get her well baby visit. And so I went on to say, I have to tell you, you know, I mean, like they don't know. I mean, I've been talking about this forever. So it's kind of like insulting that they would take their kid over there, but that's how it is. You know, look what they did to Jesus, the family dynamic. They don't believe you. They think that their pediatrician, they should listen to the pediatrician. But anyway, they told me that they were going to have their insurance canceled if they didn't get their vaccine. Now, do you think that's...
Wait, you mean the insurance company was going to cancel their insurance benefits because they didn't get their vaccine?
Yeah. Is that going on?
Wow. Well, first of all, I have to say I'm not surprised if that is going on, because what we're seeing is the withholding of benefits. You know, some people can't get their paycheck in certain parts of the world without being vaccinated. Children can't get their, you know, if you're on public assistance, they can withhold your food or your assistance without if you don't get vaccinated. So this isn't happening everywhere, of course. But there are certain places around the country where this is becoming commonplace. So I'm not shocked at all if that is happening, but I haven't heard.
I'm just
that.
Wondering. I mean, I can totally, I wouldn't have realized that it would be so blatant, you know, but the insurance companies, they seem to forget that they work for us.
Oh, yeah, no, they don't have it that way. They don't have it that way. They have it that, you know, their clients cost them a lot of money because they're so sick and they have so many claims. So they have it that they're doing the consumers a massive favor.
No.
So
I told my husband, you could go ahead and cancel my insurance because really don't plan to ever go to the doctor ever again in my life.
Yeah.
You know, and the doctor that you do want to see, they're not going to pay for.
Oh, yeah. Insurance isn't going to cover the, you know, osteopaths and the naturopaths and all of that.
The chiropractor.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, they won't. My insurance won't cover a chiropractor unless it's from an injury.
Right.
There's no.
Not that it's covered injury. Right?
Yeah, it's not just for, like, tuning your piano, as I say metaphorically with the chiropractor. It's like muscle memory, you know. Everything goes back and tweaks everything. Well, you need to straighten that all out. It's just like a piano and being tuned. You have to really, you know, and the more you do it, the more aligned you are, and the better you sound, the better you feel, the better you detox, all those pathways are opened up, you know, and you're able to operate at full capacity. You know, that's kind of my analogy. Whatever.
Well, I like that. That's good.
That's
well,
the
really
chiropractor.
Back to this real ID situation, though. You know, right away they're not going to have you give over your medical records and all of that. But do you know that it's going to be ultimately your driver's license will be sort of married to or connected to your driving record, your criminal record, your medical record, your
Google bought out a bunch of medical records or something like that so that they could put them on people's phones? Was it Apple? Who was it? I read that.
I'm not
sure. So they
totally
can put
sure.
your whole health thing on your phone. So they bought out this whole program, and it's a total violation of privacy.
Wow, so interesting.
Anyway, that's
sure.
what all this AI is coming to, all this technology, and, you know, there's artificial intelligence, and they're doing biotechnology with, you know, mixing human tissues with the AI. That's Elon Musk, you know, putting a chip in the brain so you have, like, a computer in your brain so you can access
yeah.
any kind of information. Well, a lot of good that's going to do us if we can't access anything because everything's censored. Hello?
Yeah. It's so frightening to think about these brain implants and, you know, the precursor to that, of course, are these virtual reality goggles or whatever they're called.
Yeah,
you
but
know,
I understand that they've had this technology for so long and they
yeah.
just don't want us to know, you know. I mean, they can take E.T. home, right? They've reverse engineered craft, you know,
mm-hmm.
extraterrestrial craft. I don't know. You know, the Nazis were big into that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe that, you know, Hitler and the SS, they distributed like speakers into each person's home so that they would be sort of forced to listen to the Nazi rhetoric. You know, sometimes
yeah, I
think back and I go, gosh, if I lived in that neighborhood and I was Jewish, I mean, would my neighbors have turned their eyes away from me as I was being dragged to the bus or to the train? Would they have ignored that was happening to me?
Well, guess what? They just did that with all those protesters in China, and we saw video of, like, the train with all these people that were put on this train for protesting, and they were screaming bloody murder, and they were shooting people in the street over nothing.
Oh.
That was in China. But anyway, Michelle, back to the program.
yeah,
you know,
so
It's so fun
There's
to go.
There's a bigger picture. It's not just autism, you know, but then we, I don't know. There's just so much, you know, there's so much injustice, and I just can't help but believe that autism was a planned ordeal, you know. And then you hear this moral professor, this moral ethics professor talking about people with disabilities and how they're a drain on society, and talking about the end of life bill. And that was John Podesta and his buddies over there. So, you know, and we know that he's Luciferian. So, I mean, he told us. But, well, is there anything else you want to talk about, Michelle? We can say goodbye until another day when we have something exciting to talk about.
Well, I do just want to, you know, invite your listeners to continue to pray for Samoa. Continue to pray for New Jersey, because that bill is just going to kind of be put on hold for the holidays. And I think
they'll
be back in January.
Again in January?
I believe so. Yep. And then, of course, you and I both live in Southern California. And I do know that on January 7th, there's going to be a family day up in Sacramento. The Vast Bus will be there. But I highly encourage people to be in attendance up at the Capitol building for the family day. There's going to be a number of speakers, apparently, and a lot of familiar faces from social media. Those that are very active on social media will be there. So, you know, we're asking for people to show up and be part of this movement. And, you know,
January 7th.
And I know they're having a vast screening on January 4th. Just not far from Sacramento. So if you go to vaxed2.com, and you punch in your zip code, or you punch in a zip code where you want to see the movie, it'll give you a list of what's available. So I highly encourage people to make sure that they have the opportunity to watch Vax2 and invite people.
And Judy mentioned Vax2 like 3 or 4 times yesterday, the People's Choice.
Oh, so good.
She mentioned it several times during our interview with McAllister TV. And, you know, that has a ton of views right now. What did I tell you it has? Like
14,000.
14,000 overnight in a day.
Overnight.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And this is like, out of our demographic, which is like singing outside of our choir. I'm very excited because it's
and that's really what we need. I mean, when you read through the introduction of Dr. Judy and her credentials, you know, I was reminded we have a brilliant scientist in our midst.
And then I'm sorry, Michelle, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Just that she's brilliant, and, you know, we need to get her voice out there much more often. So I really want to honor you for having her on. It's
well,
really valuable.
Thank you so much, Michelle. But I went to, it popped up in my notifications from Autism One Media, and it was Judy talking about the DNA, environmental reasons for autism or something. And in the comments, you know, and you realize just how the comments, the guy's like, she says more in like 5 minutes than you can get out of some of these guys in an entire day that she, and then in our comments yesterday, she's like a machine gun with her knowledge. She's so incredibly smart, and she talks to where, you know, we as lay people can understand it. You know, Judy's come a really long way with that, because, you know, it used to be, I'd say, good morning, Judy, because we'd share a room at Autism One. And one time Marcella was in our room, and I'm like, good morning, Judy. And she started talking, and her and Marcella, and my head was about ready to explode. It's like, oh, my gosh, this is, like, way over the top. They're
when you get
smart.
Two science people in a conversation and they talk in their science jargon, sometimes it goes over my head. I have to ask them to reel it in and explain it to me in plain English, you know.
Yeah, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I've really enjoyed talking to you, Michelle. I always enjoy talking to you. You're like my go-to for what's really going on out there because, you know, I started looking at all this other stuff that was going on and it used to be like 5 years ago, Michelle, we would wait for a piece of news about vaccines. We would wait and wait and wait. And sometimes we'd wait 2 years, 3 years before any mention of it, you know, and we'd wait for something to happen and we'd still keep screaming and nobody heard us. And now the information is coming so quickly, it's easy to miss.
Yeah.
But that's huh?
But it's, you know, it's horrible, but it's also a beautiful thing to watch so many people really starting to wake up. It's like we're giving them a safe space to land. Because, you know, when you first start waking up, the reality of its harm, and what many of us have done to our own children at the trust, you know, simply because we trusted our doctors. It is mind-boggling to think that all of this they knew about, all of this they chose not to care about, and the sheer level of injury, horrible, horrible injury that our beautiful children they'll never be able to be unadulterated, meaning like their bodies, their DNA. It's like they're forever altered. And
yeah, well, they took my child from me.
Yeah, they did. And it's not fair. And I pray that, you know, I've seen some massive things happening with the Donald Trump administration. He's only 3 years in and he's done a lot of his campaign promises. That's one thing for sure. This guy does what he says. And I'll never forget that he, on the stage during the, one of the first presidential debates when he was up on that stage with Ben Carson.
I was tweeting him.
Yeah. And you heard him say,
I did.
We give too much, too many, too soon, you know, to these beautiful babies. And he talked about you take a newborn in to the doctor, they give him a vaccine the size of a horse, and I think that's his way of saying there's so much all at once. And then the kids have a high fever a few days later, and next thing you know, they regress in autism. Like, we all heard him say that.
Well,
and
guess what I found today?
What?
Go on. I hate to interrupt.
Well, I know. I get excited, too. I interrupt, too, sometimes. But he said, like, he knows that we're out here. And
guess what I found today, Michelle?
What?
Okay, so you know how on Facebook they'll tell you what you posted 5 years ago?
Oh, yeah, like the memory.
Okay, so the analytics for Twitter, when we were celebrating that we won or that we had actually done 500 million tweets. We had 500,000 tweets. And the analytics, guess who was tweeting hashtag CDC whistleblower? Besides Rob Schneider and Tim and you and me and everybody else, or Rob Schneider and Tanner's dad. Well, the real Donald Trump.
I mean, that is epic because you guys were doing that in like 2015.
It was 2014. And he wasn't president yet. And he was tweeting hashtag CDC whistleblower.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have a picture of it.
That is like, you're going to have to put that into the comment section of your video or use it as the, the image.
Well, people can go to my Facebook page at Candace S. Dave and they'll see it. It's right there. But anything else, Michelle? We're going to win. We're going to win.
We are going to win. One thing we didn't talk about, and I didn't see it, so I was going to ask you if you saw it, but there was a debate yesterday in Harlem, right?
Yeah.
Did you hear about it or see it or anything with Curtis Cost?
No.
Yeah, I mean, I'm disappointed I didn't see any video, but there was supposed to be a big debate.
Between who?
My understanding is it was going to be pro-vaccine, individuals and vaccine risk-aware people debating each other.
In Harlem.
In Harlem. Yeah, remember how they had that Harlem event roughly a month ago, give or take, and they shut up Bobby Kennedy's mic?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this was the follow-up to that. So they were going to be having, like, an actual debate, and it was supposed to take place yesterday, and I'm pretty sure that it did, but I didn't see any footage, so maybe people were not allowed to videotape or go live. I don't know, but it sounds like you're not aware. I'm hoping that I can get some information about what went down, who showed up.
Yeah, I've been kind of, I've been super busy, so I didn't catch that. Remember,
we used
to wait 5 years for anything like that. Any kind of news or anything like that, we waited a long time. And now it's happening so quickly, it's easy to miss.
Yeah,
well,
there's a lot going on.
All right, so let's pray for
One more thing.
What?
One more thing. And I know it's kind of late to talk about this because I don't even have the actual address yet, but it looks like on January 5th in the Los Angeles area, Bobby Kennedy is going to be doing his PowerPoint presentation, but he's updated it with some information regarding the CDC's findings on their, I guess, particular vax versus unvax study and the health outcomes of the vaccinated kids are abysmally poor. And so, mark your calendar for January 5th.
And we can probably find out more at Children's Health Defense.
Yeah, I'm sure once the exact location is done, we'll be able to distribute that information. For sure, it will be available at Bio911 on Facebook.
And you're on Twitter too, right? So tell us again.
Twitter.
Vial911.
Twitter, it's at Vial News, V-I-A-L News, and on Facebook, it's Vial911.
Okay. Awesome. So watch for Michelle Ford, Vaccine Injury Awareness League.
Thank you, Candace.
Michelle has helped me. Remember, we did that Christmas tree gig?
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
It was like well before Autism One, I think, and you sponsored our tree. You helped sponsor that tree, that vaccine injury awareness tree in our mall. Every year we have a Christmas tree raffle, so everybody like sponsors a tree, like business owners and nonprofits and citizens. And so Michelle helped me, and we had a Vaccine Injury Awareness League, and I was able to do that for 2 years. This was the tree, and I had the ribbons, and it had all the, autism and death and scoliosis and all these side effects of vaccines. And I had decorated the tree with the ribbons, and I had written all that on there. And the theme of the tree was healthy living through natural whole organic food or something like that. It was, and we had essential oils and all kinds of cool gifts, a salt lamp and some organic sheets and lots of books. But anyway, that was a great event, and that was a fundraiser, and we were able to get our message out there, Michelle. And then I did that for 2 years, and then they kicked me out because they didn't like our message.
Yeah, people are so deathly afraid of our message. What I would love for them to see is the truth about how healthy unvaccinated kids are. They're so healthy. In fact,
I'm looking forward to the day when people go, wow, I'll have what they're having.
Yeah.
You know, I want the life that they have. When, you know, the kids are running around and they're perfectly healthy and they're not vaccine injured and they're not taking a bunch of prescriptions just to be able to stay alive, you know.
And they're smart and bright-eyed.
Yeah.
He talked about that, too.
Yeah. I got to watch the rest of your interview with Dr. Judy. So, no,
well,
I just appreciate the chance to, you know, have a relaxed and open dialogue with you and, you know.
And especially after a long day, I know you worked really hard today. You're in the middle of your real busy season. And, you know, so thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, thank you for having me. Thanks for being flexible with my crazy schedule. So I appreciate that a lot.
All right, Michelle. And thanks to all our listeners. Hang in, guys. We'll have more coming up. Michelle, thank you so much. Love you. Bye.
Thank you, Candace. Love you, too. Bye, honey.